Lord, we do thank you for this day. What a wonderful day as we celebrate the fact that you're alive and, Lord, that you're sitting at the right hand of God interceding for us today. And what a privilege we have to pray and bring our requests before the very throne room of heaven through Jesus Christ. And we do pray for these special needs today. Think of Rachel Pickle. She's back in the hospital. We pray that you'd help them with this issue they're having with the PICC line and all. And Lord, pray for Tyler and Rachel as she's due now anytime. We pray that would go well. Just minister in her life. For Gail as she has cancer. Lord, we pray you'd continue to touch her and guide and direct in the treatments. Thank you for helping Joyce and the good report. Lord, bless now as we look at your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Very quickly, Joyce had a scan this week. The tumor on her stomach has gone from 33 to 5. So it's really shrunk. The one on her aorta is down to 0.7. Of course, the one on her liver and her lungs are gone. So the treatments are working. They're also working her over. And she's really struggling physically now. It's just a great report. She's asking us to pray now that she would not have to have surgery at all. So let's just continue to pray. You know, they only gave her a 5% chance of survival. And God has just moved in and really doing a mighty work in her life. So appreciate you ladies and men that are taking food for her. I'm not sure how much she's eating anymore, but I know Bennett still is, so we'll take care of him. Yes. Miss Minetta, they did take her to the hospital last night, and they're running tests today. Maybe heart issues, they're not sure. Yeah, she was doing pretty well. Now she's back in the hospital. As most of you know, my mother passed away in January of 2014, and her death has been a struggle, of course, for all of us in the family, but especially for my dad. They've been married for 63 years, and obviously very difficult times. At Christmas time, my brother and my dad were here, and when they traveled home, they got home Sunday afternoon, and my dad got up Monday morning. My dad is 85, got up Monday morning at 4 o'clock and went to buy milk, which obviously there's a problem right there when you think about it. But in the process, he was driving there downtown and hit a parked car and totaled his van, totaled the car, broke his wrist, but because of that, he moved in with my brother. And he's been living with my brother ever since then. And I see the hand of God in that. But it's been difficult for Dad. And part of that is he couldn't do anything. He's stuck in the house. He can't drive anywhere. Just a difficult time. I called him yesterday, or actually he called me. And he's been able to get out now and get out and work in my brother's lawn and different things. And I said, Dad, tomorrow I'm teaching on 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and a teaching on the rapture. And he said, oh, what a wonderful passage. What a wonderful passage. He said, as far as I'm concerned, it could happen any time. And the teaching of the rapture and the fact that Christ is going to return and take all believers to heaven has been such a comfort to our family. This passage probably has been the greatest comfort to me of any passage in the Word of God. And if you're here today and you've lost a loved one, and I know many of you have in recent days, and if you haven't, you will. This is a passage that has one purpose, and we find that purpose in verse 18. And he says, wherefore, do what? What's the next word? Comfort one another with these words. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And as we finish our study this morning on 1 Thessalonians 4, I want you to be comforted by the truth about the coming of Christ. Comforted by his coming. Let's review real quickly. We first saw the problem with their understanding of the rapture in verse 13. He says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. There was some ignorance. There was some lack of understanding about the rapture. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant about those which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And here's the problem. They didn't have total understanding about the coming of Christ. Paul had taught them Christ is coming again. But since that time, Some of them believers had died. And they're thinking, well, what about these believers who have died in the Lord? And he said, I don't want you to be ignorant about those things. And so he goes on, he says, for this we say unto you, excuse me, verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And we looked at the parts of the rapture, secondly, and we saw the foundation. And there were three foundations for the rapture. Three things that prove the rapture is going to happen. Any idea what they were? We just read them. Anybody remember? This is from 2 weeks ago. It's a long time ago. You see those in the verse? Verse 14. What's the first one? The fact that Jesus, the death of Christ, the fact that he died to pay for our sin. What's the second one? The resurrection, that Jesus rose from the dead, and we're celebrating that today. And the third one is not quite as obvious, but verse 15, for this we say unto you how? Paul made it up? Paul thought it up? No. Say it by the word of God. This is God's word. There's the foundation for the rapture. And then this is our new material here. The fundamental truths of the rapture, as we're looking about the parts of the rapture, and there are five of them. We find them in verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, which we which are alive and remain, and the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Listen, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Look, first of all, the personal return of Christ. Look, you may not believe it, you may believe it, haven't thought about it. There's going to be a day when Jesus Christ returns to this world. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. He's not going to send his angels. He's not going to send his archangel. He's not going to send a substitute. Jesus Christ himself is coming back to this world. In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, it says, this same Jesus. You remember the picture? The disciples are standing there. Christ is going up in a cloud to heaven. And the angels came back and said, hey, guys, look, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you in heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. He's coming back from heaven. He's been there for you. By the way, I spoke yesterday morning at men's prayer meeting on the fact that we think about Easter. What is Christ doing? He's resurrected. He's in heaven today. And what's he doing? Now think about that, folks. Right now at 10:25 on Easter morning, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, is seated in heaven at the right hand of God, and he's interceding for Mike Hubbard and for Mark Randolph and for Lori Randolph and Carrie Hodges and Jeff Kruska and for me. What's he interceding about? Well, our salvation, our sin, and our sorrow. Think about this. When you pray, Jesus Christ is praying for you. He takes your request to the Father. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. He's interceding for us today. Isn't that a great truth? When you pray through Christ, you're talking to God. What a great truth. He's interceding for us today. But there's going to come day, folks, when he comes back for his bride. And listen to the different things that are going to happen when he comes back. It says he's going to come back from heaven with a shout. That's an interesting word. It's only used here in that context in our New Testament. And the word is the word, it's translated the word command. He's coming back with a command. And it's a term that is often used for a general who is commanding his troops to fall in. You guys have been in the military. You know what that's like. Everybody's kind of lounging around. And they call, hey, fall in. It's time to go. And he's going to come with a shout. And he's going to say to the believers, hey, it's time to fall in. It's time to go. And in John 5:25, it says, verily I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Wow. He's going to come back with a shout. And then it says the voice of the archangel. Now, we don't know a whole lot about the angels. Daniel says there may be several archangels. We know of one by name. What was his name? Michael. And it may be that Michael is taking part in this. We don't know. But then there's the sound of the trumpet. Hey, Jim's here this morning. That's good. Our resident trumpet player, really in the original Greek. This is French horn, Jim. But, you know, we'll go with trumpet since it says it here. I've been reading in my Bible, reading the Old Testament, and Can you imagine having 3 million people out in the wilderness and you've got to tell them what to do? I mean, it's bad enough getting you guys quiet before Sunday school, you know? Maybe you should bring your trumpet. This is an idea. But how did they tell? How did they tell the people it's time to come for a meeting? They played a trumpet, and they had a certain sound by that trumpet, or a horn, probably ram's horn. It's time to march. How'd they tell them? Now, if I had to say, hey, guys, listen up. Well, that's not going to work. They played a trumpet. And they used the trumpet to tell the people it's time to go, it's time to meet, it's time to move on. In Exodus 19, they were at Mount Sinai, and he was calling the people, it's time to meet God. And isn't that exactly what's going to happen when the Lord comes back? And the trumpet's going to sound, and it's a command. Folks, rise up, it's time to go. So if we see the return of Christ. Secondly, notice what else is going to happen here. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And what's going to happen next? The dead in Christ shall rise first. Isn't that interesting? They're dead, but they're still in Christ. When you get in Christ, how long are you going to be in Christ? Isn't that a great truth? The dead in Christ are going to rise first. They're not second-class citizens because they've already died. They're not going to miss the rapture. These are all things that the Thessalonians were concerned about, but they're going to rise. Now, when I was probably a teenager or maybe younger, this always bothered me. The dead in Christ are going to rise. Why would that bother me? Has this ever bothered you? What about somebody who was in the service, say he was in Iraq, and lost both of his legs? Now he comes back here to the United States, he's buried somewhere, his legs are in Iraq. This hasn't bothered you, I can tell. You're saying, what a weirdo. What's wrong with this guy? Because I always thought, you know, hey, the body's got to come up, you know, and if it's, what if, you know, somebody, you know, is drowned at sea or, you know, all kinds of scenarios. I'm sorry, a little warped, I guess. But, you know, the simple matter of fact is, when they rise from the dead, are they going to be raised from the dead in their old physical body? No, it's gone. It's decayed. What are they going to have? A spiritual, glorified body. Hold your place in 1 Thessalonians, but flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the great resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians 15. Now here's the question. He says, but some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? See, I'm not all that weird. See, I mean, even Paul said the Corinthians had this question. Thou fool. Now that hurts. Well, anyway. That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. So he's talking about, how do you plant things? If you're planting watermelons, you take a big watermelon, stick it in the ground? No, you take the seed. Now there's a relationship, isn't there? And that seed's going to come back to life, and it's going to have something new. And he said, the body has to die. He says in verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh of men, another of beasts, another of fish, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another of the moon, and so forth. So also is the resurrection of the body. It is sown in corruption. Well, we know that. It is raised how? In incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, here's the key, it is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body, there's a spiritual body, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and so forth. What a great truth. Look, verse 50. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. See, that physical body can't go to heaven. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. There's going to be a new body. And glorified body. Let me ask you a question. If that's the case, will you be able to identify one another? That's a great question. Ever thought about that? Will you know your loved ones in heaven? Okay. What else in Scripture might help us understand this? Do you remember the Mount of Transfiguration? Who showed up? Maybe we don't remember the Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah. Did the guys have to ask who they were? Now, obviously, they never met them. But obviously, there was something about their appearance that these guys knew who it was. We are going to be like Christ. That's an amazing thought. I think I had that down. Well, if I do, I don't see it. For now are we the sons of God. It doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I think we'll know each other in heaven. And we're going to get to a point here where it's reunion. What good is a reunion if you don't know him, you know? So the return of Christ, the resurrection of the saved dead, what else is going to happen? What's next? Well, let's read on. In verse 17, then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Now notice, who's writing this? Paul. Did he expect Christ to come in his lifetime? I think he did. Then we, which are alive. He said, hey, when the Lord comes back, I'm going to be alive and we'll be taken up. So the third thing, we've got the return of Christ, the resurrection of the saved dead. Thirdly, the rising of the saints. Every believer who is alive will come out of the grave. The Word of God talks about it being as a thief in the night. It'll be quick. It'll be sudden. 1 Corinthians 15, we were just in that passage, says it will happen in what? A twinkling of an eye. And we've had all kinds of speculation about that is what that is. But I tell you what, it's fast. Okay, that's all you got to know. It's fast. It's going to be quick. And folks, what's going to happen in the rapture? We're going to be snatched out. Do you remember the story in Acts chapter 8 about the Ethiopian eunuch and how God took Philip and placed him there? And after the Ethiopian eunuch was saved and was baptized, the Word of God says that God took him. God took him and Philip was just gone. And that's the same word. And God's just going to snatch the believers out of this world. Now think about it. I mean, just boom, gone. Okay? That's the third thing that's going to happen here. He's going to snatch us away from the world, from the devil, from our decaying flesh, from all these things, the wrath of God. We're going to be snatched up. And then look at the fourth thing, the reunion of the believers. Look at this. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. And this is the phrase that, oh, it helped me when Mom passed away. This phrase just, I mean, I'd read this many times in my lifetime, but this just jumped off the page. Notice, caught up together what? With them. With them. Wow. Now, my family is spread out around the world. I have a sister in New Guinea. I have a brother in California. I have a sister in South Carolina. I have my mom, my brother, and my dad in Ohio. I live here in Tennessee. And the trumpet's going to sound. And by the way, several times when folks are together, we're able to get together and have a reunion for a short time. My sister's coming home for furlough from New Guinea here this month. Looking forward for the whole family being together if possible. We hope we can do that. But that's a lot of work and a lot of planning, and sometimes it doesn't work out to get everybody together. But I got news for you. When the trumpet sounds and the angel shouts from all over this world, the Seaman clan's coming together. And what a reunion that's going to be. And when the Lord returns, my mom is going to come out of that grave. She's coming out. And I'm going up. And I'm going to meet her in the air. And I'm going to meet my brother and his family in California. We're going to meet together. My sister's in New Guinea. We're going to meet together. My sister in South Carolina, we're going to meet together. What a time that is going to be. What a time of reunion. I mean, it's just going to be great, folks. It's an exciting time. I mean, isn't it neat that the Lord allowed us to think about this passage on Easter Sunday morning? I mean, what timing? I'm actually probably 3 or 4 weeks behind, but I really slowed down, so I didn't really. There's going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by. I'm going to meet you over there in the land beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. 'Twill be glorious when we are there. And God's own Son will be the leading one in the meeting in the air. And not only are we going to have a reunion with our loved ones who have died, with other believers, but look what else the reunion is going to take place. And it says we're going to meet, who else? Meet the Lord in the air. Now there are some men who said they've seen Jesus, but they haven't. But when the Lord returns, we're going to see him. We're going to see him. The one who died for your sins. The one who has saved you and is keeping you. The one who loves you. The one who cares about you. The one who's going to save you for all eternity. We're going to meet him. And I already quoted 1 John 3:2. I'll do it again. I knew it was in my notes somewhere. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, he's going to come back. He's going to appear. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Isn't that going to be something, folks? Oh my, what a wonderful time. Some glorious morning, sorrow will cease. Some of you are going through tough times. There's going to be a day when all the sorrow is going to cease. Some glorious morning, all will be peace. Heartaches all ended. I always thought this was kind of a funny phrase. School days all done, but you teachers can say amen. Heaven will open. Jesus will come. Sad hearts will gladden. All will be bright. Goodbye forever to earth's dark night. Changed in a moment, like him to be. Oh, glorious daybreak, Jesus, I'll see. Oh, what a meeting there in the skies. No tears, no crying shall dim our eyes. Loved ones united. What's the next word? Eternally. Oh, what a daybreak that morn will be. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. We'll shout the victory. He'll break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me and for you. The rapture of the church. So we've seen the return of Christ, the resurrection of the saved dead, the rising of the saints, the reunion of the believers. There's one more. That's the residence of the believers. Notice. And it says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Think about heaven for a moment. John chapter 14, which is another great passage about the return of Christ. He says, I'm going home to my Father. And he said, what am I going to do? What's he been doing for 2,000 years? Preparing a place. Can you imagine what it took the Lord, it took God 6-7 days to create this world. He's been working on this place called heaven, the New Jerusalem, for 2,000 years, preparing a place for us. In John 14, 2 and 3, it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place. Now, this is only logical. If he's going to prepare a place for us, what's he going to do? And if I go and prepare a place for you, what? I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Another song, I love these old hymns. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. The chorus, in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful shore. What a time that's going to be. An eternal home, never to leave. We'll inhabit heaven, the New Jerusalem, for all eternity. And think of the things. You ever thought about the things that won't be in heaven? Revelation 21. I was preparing for a funeral for someone, and I think I was reading scripture, and this just jumped out at me. The things in Revelation 21 that will not be in heaven. There's no death. There's no disease. There's no darkness. Oh, I like the next one. There's no devil. There's no defilement. And what are we going to do for all? I was thinking about this the other day. We went down to Florida, and sometimes they have me sing. I know you don't understand that, but they do. And I was thinking about that day. I was thinking about Mom and what she was doing. And the song came to my mind, and while the ages roll, What are we going to do? We'll keep on praising him. And our voice will never tire or grow old. And my song shall ever be, praise the Lamb who died for me. And I'll sing it while ages shall roll. Isn't it going to be something, folks? I mean, it's just, all of this is going to happen, folks, because of the rapture. And we're going to go home to heaven. And we'll be there forever and ever. And by the way, for some of you guys, you'll relate to this, say there's no parting in heaven. That's why some people say that we're all bald in heaven. No parting over there. Amen? Amen. I can relate to that. Be a wonderful place. Now, finally, the purpose of the teaching of the rapture, and I mentioned this in the introduction. Why is Paul teaching about the rapture? What is the main thing, this passage, what's the main application for us today? Now, there are a lot of things. We could talk about cleansing. We could talk about preparedness. We could talk about these things. But the main reason is, wherefore, comfort. Comfort. And that is the word. You know that word. It's the word for the Holy Spirit, the paraklesis, the parakleo, the one who is the comforter. And it's interesting to me that we are to be comforted by this passage, but really this is a passage that we as believers are to use, aren't we? Wherefore, do what? Comfort one another with these words. And my, what a comfort it is. And I already mentioned talking to my dad yesterday, and what a comfort this passage has been to us and to him, even yesterday I spoke to him. It's interesting. I mentioned another great passage that talks about the coming of Christ. Remember what it was? John 14. And in John 14, the Lord has been telling his disciples, I'm going away, and they are troubled. And that passage starts, John 14, 1. How does it start? Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then he goes down to the end of that passage in verse 27. And it says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give it, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, I don't know where you are today in your mind. If you've lost a loved one recently, I know some of you have. I want you, when the sorrow comes, when the doubts come, when you get a little over, it comes a little overbearing and it just gets hard. I want you to remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Because folks, there's going to come a day when Christ returns. And when he returns, those loved ones of yours that have gone on to heaven are coming out of the grave. They're coming out of the grave. And you're going to be caught up with them. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air. And we're going to be forever with the Lord. Aren't you glad that our situation today is only temporary? It's just temporary. It's not permanent. For a believer, it's temporary. And my friends, on this Easter Sunday morning, when we think about the resurrection of Christ, I want you to remember, folks, that because he was resurrected as a believer, someday you too will be raptured or resurrected. You'll be taken up. And there's going to be a great reunion in heaven, a great reunion. We're going to go up with the saints. It's going to be a wonderful time. And we'll be with the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. And Paul admonishes us as believers, be comforted. Be comforted. As I look around the room, I see folks who have lost loved ones, some of you this year, some very recently, some that have lost loved ones in the past. And I just want to encourage you today, be comforted. You're going to see that mama again someday if she's a believer. You're going to see that saved dad again someday. You're going to see that saved child again someday. You're going to see that saved loved one again someday, that husband, that wife, whatever. Be comforted. Be comforted. Because Christ is going to return. And he's going to raise the dead that are saved. And we'll be raptured if we're alive and believers and alive. And there's going to be a great reunion on the way up, folks, with all the believers and with Christ and we're going to be inhabiting heaven for all eternity. What a blessing. What a blessing. Lord, we thank you for this passage in the Word of God. Oh, there are some folks here today who are full of sorrow. And God, I pray you'd comfort their hearts. Comfort their hearts. And may this passage be a comfort to all of us as we think about the return of Christ. Holy Spirit of God, take your word and minister, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.